It is 11:08 and a very good morning to you. So just as you would set those New Year's resolutions to basically lead a better lifestyle and focus on your health, you also have to do this when it comes to your financial well-being. And the one thing I've found is if you role play yourself and you put yourself in the position of a corporation, right? And there are certain things that a corporation needs to do. It needs to pay its bills. It needs to pay its salaries. It needs to have money for its cost of sales. It needs to be able to do the operations. And then, you know, after taxes and all the other stuff, you still need a bit of a net profit at the end of the day. And then you're a decent-looking business, right? But we don't see ourselves like that. We see ourselves as human beings who bring in money and we have certain needs and we spend. If businesses did that, a lot of them would just go bankrupt. So to talk to us about our personal balance sheets and a little bit about the personal income statement as well, Paul Roelofse, Certified Financial Planner, good morning.
Good morning to you, Kia. And Happy New Year, first of all. I mean, it's a new decade.
Indeed.
I've spoken to you for a while. But
Happy New Decade.
There we go. And it's 2020, quite a great number, isn't it? It's something to kind of focus on. And I know it normally applies to hindsight. But at the same time, it's quite a nice number to step into the new year with.
Yeah. And I think one of the best skills you could probably teach yourself, if you go onto Udemy or wherever, you can actually download these courses for 99 Rand or 150 Rand, how to use Excel and, you know, how to find your way around an Excel spreadsheet, which is still the go-to spreadsheet these days when it comes to financial planning. But let's talk a little bit about your personal balance sheet, you know, what your own net worth is, Paul. Because we talk about balance sheets, we'll talk about the accounting equation, assets equals owner's equity and liabilities, plus liabilities. But we need to dig down a little further, don't we?
Well, I think let's position it. You know, as you said up front, companies do this. Companies do have an income statement. Obviously, that focuses on the cash flow, you know, where the money is coming in and how the money is being spent. But there's also another aspect to it. It's called the balance sheet. And if you were going to assess the worth of a company, you'd want to look at their balance sheet, because what it reflects is what that company owns and what it owes, and the difference between it is what they call the net asset value. So we can drill into that and apply that very carefully with our own personal financial planning, which we should do. We should actually have a snapshot of what we own and what we owe. Because effectively, when you take the one from the other, the liabilities away from the assets, so to speak, you come up with a figure called net worth. That's what you're actually worth. And what it represents is, if I sold everything that I owned, paid off all my debts that I owe, the bottom line, what's left over is what I'm really worth. You see, so it's quite a good financial planning tool to get that snapshot and start building your plan around it, because it identifies a lot of opportunities.
Now, you know, having said that, people will then go, oh, but my liabilities include paying a bond on a regular basis. Is paying a bond a liability, really?
Well, let's position it. It's not to be confused with an income statement.
Yes.
You know, when we look at a balance sheet, we're looking at the actual market value of the assets.
Yes.
So a bond, if you've got a house that's worth R1 million, you'd have that on the left-hand side, or the assets side of your balance sheet. And then what you owe on that bond is 500,000, say. That would be a liability.
Correct.
It's a debt that you still have to pay off. It's not the monthly repayment, not to confuse it with the income statement.
Correct.
It's the actual value of what you own and what you owe. So you take that assessment and you go through the whole your whole portfolio. You add to the assets things like your pension fund, your investments, if you've got some Kruger Rands, if you've got household effects, your car, your house. Those will all be assets on the one side. And then we go across to the other side and say, well, what do I owe on my car? I might have a car that's 500,000, but I still owe 250,000 on it.
Yeah.
So that would still be a liability.
Correct.
And there we now start meshing our way through that particular exercise. And we come with the total number of assets on the one side, the left column, and total number of liabilities. And we subtract the two, and that's what we are actually worth.
The
theory is there.
Do you also then say, so let's say you bought your property. property for 1.5 million rand, and you now owe 600,000 on it, or let's say use a round figure of 500,000.
Yes.
Your liability is the 500,000,
yes.
But your asset is not 1.5 million minus the 500,000. It's the current value of that asset, I would imagine,
right.
Versus the 500,000 that you need to pay.
Correct. Well, the net worth would be the market value of your property less the bond.
Correct.
So that's what your equity is. That is, you know, pointing to your earlier formula.
Mm.
Your equity in your balance sheet will be the difference between the asset and the liability. And I know it starts to get a little technical, and please don't be fearful of it. It's certainly got to be really understood. That's just really the value of things I own versus the value of things I owe on. And it's a very useful tool because, again, we can start pointing to things in terms of wealth creation. How can I improve that net worth of mine? And effectively, that should be growing year on year. We should be doing this exercise at least once a year. At the beginning of the year is a good time to do it. And then we can improve on it at least by inflation, because every year we've got to keep our net worth real. So we've got to look at the inflation number and make sure that we're growing at a faster rate. And there's a lot of things you can do. You know, you can either start by reducing the debt or the liability side, you know, by paying off the bond a little quicker or paying off the car a bit quicker, not taking on more debt. And then on the other side, we can also start focusing on things like growth assets. Let me now start putting my money towards things that will grow. And remember, a car, for example, doesn't grow. It sits on the balance sheet, and every year when I do that exercise, it depreciates in value.
Mm.
Yet you'll probably find on the liability side, you still owe as much. So it's not a great asset. But a bond, a house is, Kruger Rands, investments, all of those things will be reflected on that asset side. And those are kinds of ways that we start to build up our net worth at the end of the day.
You know what I like about the business mindset when it comes to dealing with your own assets? So you then start looking. So let's say you've got properties, right? And you've got maybe three properties and they're well positioned. Maybe it's in the city. Maybe one's close to a beach or whatever. And you can now say, okay, but I've got tenants that currently pay me, I don't know. So let's say your bond was 1.5 million. You've got someone paying you 11,000 a month. And this is not balance sheet related, of course, because a balance sheet looks at a snapshot at a point in time. This is what you're worth.
That's right.
At a point in time. But when one looks at an income statement, it's over a period, right?
Right.
And you can then look at how to improve that particular asset that you have and maybe decide, I'm not going to put a tenant in there from month to month. As a matter of fact, based on research in this particular area, there's a group of people who come here regularly for a period of 6 months, and I can double what I get in those 6 months.
Well, you know, those are the kinds of things and ideas that you can put in place to improve the value of your property or get the most out of your property in that sense. And obviously, that's a sort of management of expenses or maintenance of that property versus the value of it. And obviously, the target there would be your net rental income.
Mm.
What do you net out over a period of time? And that's a function of what I get in for the property and what I spend on it as well. And obviously,
yes.
If you can fill that same property with someone who's going to pay you more for it, well, that's going to accelerate your project very nicely. And if you can maintain or contain your expenses during the period, well, that's even better. Now, remember, too, we will also have things like occupancy. If the more you can occupy the property as well over a longer period of time, you know, obviously you're going to improve that model too. But to your point, if you run it like a business, businesses do that. They're always conscious of the income, always conscious of the expenditure. And if you're spending more than you're earning, well, then the project itself isn't really that worthwhile. But on the other hand, if you can improve and get more out of it and less, and obviously you've got to accommodate things like tax. Unfortunately, with rental income, it is a taxable.
It's 40%, isn't it, or something silly?
Well, it gets added to your tax table. You see, wherever you rest in your other sources of income, you add your rental income into that. And that would be obviously a peg, some form of marginal rate of tax, and that's the margin that you will pay the tax on. So you'd be conscious that rental income is taxable, and you know, and there's no free lunches with SARS. They're certainly going to be mindful of that, and you'd have to present your rental storyboard. Normally on your tax return, you show the income and deduct certain expenses, and it's that net amount that gets added to the rest of your income.
Now, this all sounds really interesting, but where does one start? For someone who's listening to this going, yeah, it's okay for you and Kino to talk about it. You guys understand a little bit about these things. So for someone who understands absolutely nothing and wants to start, where does one start?
Well, it's a sheet of paper, okay, and it gets as simple as this. And what we do is we draw up two columns. On the left-hand side, let's avoid the technical jargon because I think sometimes it sort of intimidates us. You know. So let's just say we on the one side, I'm going to have all the things I owe. Own. Let's put that on the left-hand side, the things I own. So I own a house. It's R1 million. On the right-hand side, how much do I owe on it? $500,000 on a bond. Okay, so that's step one. Then I go to my household effects. And normally your insurance, your short-term insurance gives you an idea if you've insured yourself correctly. Mm. That would be a figure. And I wouldn't be too particular around that figure because, you know, televisions and all those other things don't maintain a cost. But the point is just to try and get a yardstick on that. What would you fairly, you know, estimate the value of that, of your household effects? Put that in. If there are any debts, you know, if you owe on the furniture and the TV and things like that, sum that up, total that figure up, and put that against the household side as a liability or a thing that you owe. And you do that exercise, you can go right through. You can take your jewelry and your cash in the bank. You could look at if you've got a business running, what is the actual business interest that you have that goes on the asset side as well. And you can run it right through cars. Not our favorite topic. You know, cars are sort of lifestyle things. They're not assets, but they need to be there because you've got something that you probably owe on it as well.
Hey, man, if you bought a Porsche Targa, I don't know, 15 years ago, and you spent $100,000 on it, today it's going to be worth $800,000. So
okay, well, that's one of the exceptions to the rule. Okay.
Yeah.
So good luck to all those that can afford a Targa. Well, that's great. I can put that in. But the general car, you know, is certainly not going to reflect much excitement.
Sure.
It's going to pull back your net worth. So it's those kinds of things for anyone. It's whatever you own, even if you've got a few assets on your doorstep. It's a great starting point because once I have a clear understanding of what I owe and what I own, my net worth, you know, is my basis for me to take my wealth forward. And it's that figure that I would like to grow year on year into the future, and then I know that I'm growing and I'm not dying, so to speak, in financial speak. We would like to see things moving upwards. And again, always mindful of inflation. So if I'm really prudent and take this exercise really to heart, I can then look at that liability side and target that. Just think about it. If I paid off that liability or those liabilities sooner than later, automatically my balance sheet improves. Now, that's what businesses would do too. I mean, there's some businesses that have got very big debts you know, they look weak on the balance sheet, and the management would certainly be very conscious of that and target the debt itself. Get that cost of debt down. That's obviously in the income statement.
Yeah.
But on the balance sheet, if I get that actual size of the debt down, obviously it's going to improve the performance and the bottom line of my business as well.
Absolutely. Well, Paul Roelof, as always, great to have you on the show. And I love the practical stuff that you're doing, and I think we'll continue doing that, empowering people to take control of their own and also to demystify you know, financial planning as well. It's always seemed to be the domain of a couple of people who, you know, very clever and know what they're talking about and are great with accounting. But you can take control of your own books, quite frankly.
Very much so, very much so. You know, it is in charge, and I think that's the key to, you know, take control, be in charge. You know, and
absolutely,
there's some simple things we can share with our listeners around that.
Well, before the Cummings household goes into liquidation, I've decided to actually take charge of my own books as well. I'm just anyway, Paul, great chatting to you, man. Paul Roelof, sir, there, certified financial planner.